Good morning, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for Wednesday, February 12, 2020. We're reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. My name is Peggy, and my partner at the microphone is Doug. We'll start with a look at today's weather and headlines from the front page. First, supervisors okay reduced raises. Next, leaving St. Edmund a better place. Iowa Central okays bond refinancing. Fort Dodge man arrested for burglary, strangulation, sexual assault. And Fort Dodge Area Symphony to present The Immigrant. Today's weather forecast. You can expect a slight chance of snow with wind gusts up to 37 miles per hour with a high of 35 and a low of 11, minus 11. And now here's Doug with our first article.
Good Wednesday morning to you. First article is written by Elijah Dishes. The supervisors okay reduced raises. Webster County supervisors approved a raise for elected county officials slightly lower than the Board of Compensation's recommendations earlier this year, as well as upgrades to radio tower keeping in time with the county's transition to digital. The Board of Compensation recommended in January a 3% raise across the board for elected officials. The amount approved Tuesday by supervisors will give a 2.5% raise to elected officials, raising salaries to the sheriff's salary is $98,400. It's up from $96,000. The supervisor is $39,975, up from $39,000. Supervisor chairman is $41,000, up from $40,000. The auditor is $71,750, up from $70,000. The treasurer will be $71,750, up from $70,000, and a recorder is $71,750, up from $70,000, and the attorney is $123,000, up from $120,000. The motion previously made by supervisors in January merely acknowledged the Board of Compensation's recommendations without approving the raise. Supervisor Chairman Mark Campbell said that the 2.5% raise approved will ensure that elected officials are receiving no more of a raise than any other county employee this year. All raises will go into effect July 1st. Supervisors also approved upgrades to Harcourt Tower as the county prepares to complete its transition from an analog to a digital radio system. The upgrade at $97,998 includes lights, cameras, generators, air conditioning, and other miscellaneous building expenses from Electronic Engineering Company and Moeller Furnace Company, both of Fort Dodge. Dylan Hagen, Webster County Emergency Management Coordinator, said in a previous meeting that the new system's stronger strength, 700 to 800 megahertz, will allow interoperability between agencies across the state, making dedicated channels a thing of the past as it introduces interesting new features. The new system will be dual band, meaning that Webster County will still be able to communicate with other counties still on analog. The tower upgrades are part of a $2.3 million effort. The county's old analog system is in need of upgrade as agencies from other counties and the state started to move to digital, leaving Webster County at a disadvantage in communicating with them for fire, police, and emergency medical service responses across county lines.
Next, leaving St. Edmund a better place. Mitchell to retire at end of 2019-2020 school year by Kelby Wingert. At the end of the school year, St. Edmund Catholic School will say goodbye to longtime principal Linda Mitchell. Mitchell, who started as a sixth grade teacher at Holy Rosary Catholic School 45 years ago, is retiring at the end of this school year. Throughout her time as a classroom teacher, she taught third, fifth, and sixth grades. She was also the head teacher at Holy Rosary for a while before the Fort Dodge Catholic Schools consolidated into one building at St. Edmund. Mitchell had been in the classroom for about 27 years before she moved to the administrative side of education. They couldn't find an elementary principal, so they asked me to do it just for a short period of time, Mitchell said. Then it ended up permanent, and I haven't looked back since. Eventually, Mitchell became the head principal for St. Edmund, a kindergarten through 12th grade school. In her 18 years as an administrator, Mitchell knew she wanted to stay at St. Edmund. It ended up being a mission for me, something that I wanted to do, Mitchell said. Mitchell enjoyed St. Edmund's Faith Foundation and liked to continue to try making the school a better place. Throughout the years, Mitchell has impacted countless students and families in the Fort Dodge community. She's had students in her classrooms who were children of past students she's taught. Even now, some of the younger students at St. Edmund are the grandchildren of students she taught way back in the 70s at Holy Rosary. When you're out and about and you see people you know, it kind of gives you a lift, Mitchell said. Having Mitchell in her position of principal for so long helped create a stability that students and families could expect, said St. Edmund Catholic School President Mary Gibb. Dedication and consistency, when you have the same principal for that long, parents get used to what are her expectations, how she disciplines students, what she'll allow, what she won't allow, Gibb said. Mitchell always puts the school first, Gibb added. It will be hard to find a replacement, Gibb said, but the school is searching diligently. Number one, we're looking for an instructional leader, someone that can help with the curriculum and data, she said. Very much a faith-filled individual, a practicing Catholic, someone who really believes in the mission of the school and the church. Mitchell hopes to make her successor's transition as smooth as possible. I just want to make sure that everything is done properly and it's easy for the new person to take over, she said. Mitchell's presence will be missed in the halls of St. Edmund next year. I'm very thankful that I've gotten to work with her for 7 years, Gibb said. She's taught me a lot about the system, me being new here. When it comes to her retirement plans, Mitchell doesn't have any yet. She said she tries not to make plans too far ahead so they won't fall through. So I'm just focusing on my day-to-day type stuff, she said. As her retirement date looms on the horizon, it's a bittersweet feeling, Mitchell said. It's mixed emotions. I just hope they remember that I tried to do my best and I always wanted them to do their best. In addition to being a practicing Catholic, candidates must hold an Iowa administrator's license or be eligible for the administrator license. Previous administrative experience is preferred. The position will remain open until filled. However, the first deadline for applications is February 14th. If a candidate is not chosen, the application process will open again.
And Iowa Central okays bond refinancing by Kelby Wingert. Iowa Central Community College Board of Directors passed a resolution authorizing the refinancing of two general obligation bonds the school currently has, which will save taxpayers nearly $400,000 over the life of the bonds. The bonds were initially sold in 2008 and 2009, said Angie Martin, Associate Vice President for Business Affairs at Iowa Central. Those bonds then were refunded or refinanced in 2012-2013. This third refinancing will combine the two bonds into one, which will have an even lower interest rate. The bond's total is $7,895,000. The board of directors voted unanimously to approve the sale of the bonds to D.A. Davidson Company of Des Moines at an interest rate of 1.3255%. In total, through the refinancing of these bonds, the college will save $372,570. When we're refunding it, you're getting a better interest rate, Martin said, so the principal as well as the total cost of the bonds of the remaining life of them to pay back is less than the refinancing. When the college first looked into refinancing the bonds last fall, they aimed for a 3% savings off the cost of the bonds. With this refinancing agreement, the college is receiving 3.59% in savings. The college's goal with refinancing these general obligation bonds is to be a good stewards of the taxpayers' money. That's our job, to try to keep expenses to a minimum, board member Larry Hecht added. During the meeting, the board also set a public hearing date for the 2020-2021 Iowa Central budget. The public hearing will be at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, March 10th, in the conference room at the Triton Cafe.
Next, Fort Dodge man arrested for burglary, strangulation, sexual assault by Elijah Deaches. A Fort Dodge man appeared in magistrate court Friday to answer to charges of burglary, domestic assault, and sex abuse after Fort Dodge police say he broke into a home, strangled a woman, and sexually assaulted her three different acts on three separate dates. Christopher Lamont Baker Jr., 25, is charged with second-degree burglary, third-degree sexual abuse, and domestic abuse assault impeding air or blood flow. The charges stem from three incidents in November and December. The first charge for burglary stems from a November 15 incident in which Fort Dodge police say Baker kicked in the front door of the victim's residence. The defendant had a no-contact order for the victim issued November 4. Criminal complaints detail Baker's subsequent acts as an escalation from that one. On November 25, complaints say that Baker grabbed the victim's feet, pulled her off her bed, and dragged her to the living room of the home. Police say he then got on top of the victim and started to choke her with both hands. Oh, on December 12, police say Baker sexually assaulted the same victim against her constant verbal objections. Baker is held in the Webster County Jail on a collective $25,000 cash bond. An arraignment is scheduled for February 24.
And Fort Dodge Area Symphony to present The Immigrant by Chad Thompson. The Fort Dodge Area Symphony will present the silent movie The Immigrant, starring Charlie Chaplin, for its February concert. The concert, conducted by Joshua Barlage, will feature live music accompaniment to original music by Andrew Simpson. We are calling this concert Symphonic Cinema because all the pieces on this pages are stuck together.
I'll continue. Program have a cinematic nature, evoking the pleasing sonic feelings you enjoy from your favorite movie soundtracks, Barlage said. This concert is full of melody, recognizable tunes, and is perfect for both the longtime music enthusiast and first-time concert goer. I'm especially excited to perform Andrew Simpson's original music as live accompaniment to one of Charlie Chaplin's classic silent movies, The Immigrant. And as a special symphonic treat, we will end our concert with music from Robin Hood, which includes some of the very best music ever written for film. Also featured will be Stravinsky's delightfully quirky Suite Number 2 for small orchestra, the lush and melodic The Merry Widow Overture, fierce and fiery music from Gounod's Faust, and a fanfare by Alexandra Du Bois, inspired by the 2009 inauguration of President Obama. The concert will conclude with the action-packed opening music from the film Robin Hood. Tickets are $10, free for students, and can be purchased at Ryman Music or at the door on the day of the show.
Thank you. Now to the Messenger poll. This week's question, are you concerned that Iowa might lose its first-in-the-nation status in the presidential nominating process? You can answer yes or no at messengernews.net. And this date in history by the Associated Press. Today is Wednesday, February 12th, the 43rd day of 2020. There are 323 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history, on February 12th, 1809, Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, was born in a log cabin in Hardin, now LaRue County in Kentucky. And a thought for the day. Men make history and not the other way around. In periods where there is no leadership, society stands still. President Harry S. Truman said that. And he lived 1884 to 1972.
And for the community calendar, Fort Dodge Civitan Club, 7 a.m. Zakirs, guests are welcome. Golden K. Kiwanis, 9:30 a.m., Tompkins Celebration Center, Friendship Haven. Speaker is Dave Bowles, General Manager of the Fort Dodge Country Club. Caregiver Support Group, 10 to 11 a.m. at Elderbridge Agency on Aging, 308 Central Avenue. Blandin Memorial Art Museum, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 920 3rd Avenue South. Admission is free. Walmart Retirees Luncheon, 11:30 a.m. at Sports Page. Webster County Genealogical Society, noon to 3 p.m., Fort Dodge Public Library, 424 Central Avenue, room 134. Noon Lions at noon at the Lions Den. A.A. Alano Club, noon and 7 p.m., 12 North 7th Street. Fort Dodge Duplicate Bridge Club, 1 p.m., open game at Citizen Central. Nickel Bingo, 1 p.m., Multipurpose Senior Center, Emmitsburg. Bets Off, Gamblers Anonymous, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., Community and Family Resources, 726 South 17th Street, 576-7261. VFW Post 1856, 6:30 p.m. meeting, Post Home. Open AA meeting, 7 p.m. at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, Fox Hall, 1001 South 1st Avenue. AA, 7 p.m., open meeting, 510 South Jackson, Eagle Grove. And announcements, Pfeifferlich Storage, 2452 170th Street, Fort Dodge. All units that belong to Steve Rawson, Gary D. Spencer, Glenn and Gary Thompson, Denise Cahill, if not paid in full by March 5, 2020, will be sold or disposed of after March 5th, 2020 by Barn. The Tom Thumb Weekly Special, Smoked Pork Loin. A dinner is $7.64, sandwich $2.54. That's Monday, February 10 through Sunday, February 16. That's at 1412 A Street West, Tom Thumb. And Zakir's menu. Come join us for lunch. Tuesday, it's lasagna. Wednesday, pork cutlets. Thursday, chicken and noodles. Friday, fried cod. That's Zakir's, 425 2nd Avenue South. And then Women of Epworth United Methodist Church, Baked Potato Bar. Sunday, February 16th at 11:30 a.m., Free Will Offering. 2025 11th Avenue South. 573-4415. Carry out is available and the public is welcome.
And on the editorial page, Fort Dodge Middle School students step up to serve others. Meals on Wheels has become one classroom service project. Some Fort Dodge residents who get hot lunches through the Meals on Wheels program may have been surprised recently to find their food delivered by some very youthful volunteers. Those young delivery people are the Fort Dodge Middle School students who eagerly volunteered for the job. There are 16 students from Cindy Griggs's classroom who are involved in Meals on Wheels. They are in grades 5 through 8. The student team is part of a rotation with other Meals on Wheels volunteers. That means the students deliver during 1 week of an 8-week cycle. When it's their week to deliver, Griggs and a para educator take 6 students in a school district van to Hy-Vee to pick up the food. Then they make their designated deliveries. The students take turns being on the delivery run so that they all can participate. They have gone above and beyond just delivering food. They bake brownies and sugar cookies that they delivered during the Christmas season. They also made Christmas cards that are given to the people receiving meals. The student participation involved from Griggs's own desire to volunteer with Meals on Wheels. She found out that Meals on Wheels delivers lunches, which would not work for her schedule. As a teacher, she is in the school during the midday hours when the volunteers make their rounds. But she knew that her students love helping others, so she asked them how they would feel about delivering meals. The kids were immediately excited and enthusiastic about the idea. By all accounts, the students really enjoy their volunteer mission, and we think the people receiving the food like meeting these boys and girls. We appreciate the foresight and wisdom Griggs displayed by asking her students to do something for their community. And anyone out there who thinks the younger generations are lazy and unwilling to help others only needs to look to this group of middle school students to see that's simply not true.
And next is a letter to the editor. And its caption is, "Thank you for Hospice Ball's support. Our deepest thanks to Fort Dodge and the surrounding communities for your ongoing support of the Unity Point Hospice and Quality End-of-Life Care. On Saturday, February 1st, approximately 375 people gathered at the Starlight Village to attend the 28th Annual Hospice Ball, all united by a common thread, the Unity Point Hospice Program. We were honored to serve as co-chairs of the event. The Hospice Ball celebrates loved ones we have lost and raises awareness and funding to benefit Unity Point Hospice patients. The evening included a buffet dinner, a program honoring those served by Unity Point Hospice, a silent auction with many donated items, and a dance. The event was meaningful and fun, organized with the help of Unity Point Hospice staff and volunteers. Thank you to everyone who played a role in the success of this event. Thank you to Trinity Foundation, who also supports and assists in this annual event. The highlight of the evening was the presentation of the Debbie Hofbauer Compassionate Caregiver Award. This award is given annually to a Unity Point Hospice team member who had a positive impact on the lives of patients and their families. Nominations are accepted throughout the year from family members, and the recipient is selected by a committee. This year, Unity Point Hospice was proud to recognize Robin Nickel, registered nurse. All proceeds from this event remain in our community to benefit Unity Point Hospice patients and families at home, in a care facility, or the Paula J. Baber Hospice home. Proceeds support family education, community bereavement, and hospice volunteers. Funds also assist patients with supplies or equipment, special celebrations, communication devices, library resources, music, angel hands molding, supplies to assist with dementia patients, travel, and care for individuals without funds to cover end-of-life care. Unity Point Hospice has served the Fort Dodge community for over 30 years. This very important program brings compassionate, quality, end-of-life care to individuals in our community. Your commitment to this program is outstanding. We thank you and applaud you." That was written by Susie and Ed Birnbaum, Christy and John Nielsen, co-chairs 28th annual hospice ball.
And Hans Madsen, who takes most of the pitchers for the Messenger, now has a pitcher of his own in the paper today. Messenger staffer Hans Madsen looks over a serving our servants commemorative coin presented to him by T.J. Pingle, SOS member, on Tuesday at the Messenger offices. Madsen was friends with the late Reverend Al Henderson, who was killed October 2, 2019. Henderson was a founding member of SOS, the Serving Our Servants, an organization created to support public servants. Madsen accepted an award on behalf of the Messenger for its support of SOS.
You're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. The Messenger can be heard daily at 8 o'clock a.m. and 3 o'clock p.m. If you have any questions or concerns about our program or any other IRIS program, you can give us a call at 515-243-6833. And now we'll turn to today's obituaries.
First obituary is Philip Allen Martinson. Philip Allen Martinson, 94, of Fort Dodge, died on Monday, February 10th, 2020, at Journeys Memory Care neighborhood of Friendship Haven. Following cremation, visitation will be Saturday, February 15th, from 10 to 11 a.m. in the Tompkins Celebration Center at Friendship Haven. A service honoring Philip's life will follow at 11 a.m. in the Tompkins Celebration Center. Family interment services with military honors presented by VFW Post Number 1856 and the United States Navy will be held at Memorial Park Cemetery. Arrangements have been entrusted to Gunderson Funeral Home and Cremation Services. He is survived by his son, Craig and Roberta Martinson of Central City, daughter Marilyn and Brett Charon of Humboldt, grandchildren Alicia Clayton of Des Moines, Adam and Lindsay Charon of Santan Valley, Arizona, and Ingrid Martinson of Cedar Rapids, and six great-grandchildren, Marcy and Mason Charon, Major Clayton, Braxton Hunter, and Paisley Charon. He was preceded in death by his wife Yvonne, Father Albert Martinson, Mother Mabel Castor Martinson, stepmother Marion Lepley Martinson, brothers Gordon and James Martinson, and sister Eloise Locke. Phil was born January 29, 1926, in Harcourt, Iowa. Growing up, he was involved in raising cattle to show at the Webster County Fair, the Cattle Congress in Waterloo, and Iowa State Fair, getting blue ribbons each year. Phil attended Harcourt School and graduated in 1943. Upon graduation, he enlisted in the U.S. Navy and served aboard a destroyer in the Pacific Theater during World War II. Upon discharge, he attended Rankin Trade School in St. Louis and attended and graduated from Iowa State University. He served as an instructor and administrator at Iowa Central Community College for 25 years. He was instrumental in helping to develop many of the vocational technical courses at the college. He married Yvonne Kelly in 1948. They lived in Fort Dodge until their retirement in 1988. They moved to Lake Home in Longville, Minnesota, living there 10 years before moving back to Fort Dodge in 1998. Phil was a longtime member and state president of the Iowa Vocational Association, member of Noon Rotary Club, the American Legion, the First United Methodist Church, Lakeside Golf Course, Friends of the Library, and VFW. He was an avid golfer, liked to read, and enjoyed bird watching. His love for fine woods kept him busy building furniture for all members of his family. Memorials may be left to the discretion of the family.
Next, Robert Theodore Ted Sweeney, age 84, of Parker, Colorado, died on Friday, February 7, 2020. Ted was born in Livermore, Iowa on January 4, 1936, and grew up in Fort Dodge, Iowa. A celebration of life will be held at the Parker United Methodist Church in Parker, Colorado on February 22nd at 2 o'clock p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that gifts be given to the Parkinson Association of the Rockies or the Parker United Methodist Church. Please visit Ponderosa Valley Funerals for more information. They're online at ponderosavalleyfunerals.com.
And Alice Luann Humlesack Heidig Balsh. Alice Luann Humlesack Heidig Balsh, age 60, passed away after a brief illness January 22, 2020, at 3:20 p.m. at Methodist Hospital in Des Moines, Iowa. Born the youngest of five children on September 24, 1959, in Barstow, California, to the late Peter P. Humlesack II and Patricia C. Hupp Humlesack Peters. She is survived by her husband, Rodney Vesey, two daughters, Misty Ann Bolche, Sarah Catherine Vincent, four grandchildren, and one great-grandson, Peter Humlesack III, and Dolly of San Diego, California. Nancy Grimes, the late C.D. Grimes, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Jeffrey T. Humlesack and Denise, Webster City, Iowa. Alice was preceded in death by her husband, Earl Balsh, and brother, Russell F. Humlesack. She has many nieces, nephews, and great-nieces and nephews. Alice was known as a fun-loving and caring wife, mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, and friend. She loved her family dearly. Alice was proud of her heritage and being a Czechoslovakian, a bohemian. She grew up in Oceanside, California. Alice's father was retired from the Marine Corps. To her dad, she was always his little fat heat. To her mother, brothers, and sisters, Alice was always considered the baby and the little limp, who we all doted on and gave all the attention. As an adult, Alice became a nurse. She worked with many nursing homes where she was able to care for so many of our treasured elderly. Alice was a devoted wife and mother and grandmother. She also enjoyed sewing and crafting, and when the weather was nice, Alice was often out in her plants and gardens, or she was camping. She especially loved tubing on the river. She had an impact on all of our family. She was a great friend to many, and her lively spirit will be greatly missed. Alice was baptized and a member of the Church of Christ. A memorial service for Alice is being planned and will take place after the July 4th holiday, which was always one of her favorite times of the year, and that was when family and friends gathered. A date and location for a memorial will be decided upon in the near future.
Next is Gerald Stewerwald Duncombe. Gerald Stewerwald, 73, of Duncombe, died Monday, February 10, at Paula J. Baber Hospice Home. A celebration of life will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. on Friday, February 14th, at Trinity Lutheran Church, with Pastor Gina Sturck officiating. Burial will be at Washington Lutheran Cemetery, south of Duncombe. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. at Foster Funeral Home and Cremation Center on Thursday, February 13. Gerald D. Stewerwald, son of Melvin and Genevieve Isles Stewerwald, was born on April 25, 1946 in Fort Dodge. He graduated from Webster City High School in 1964. On October 9, 1966, Gary was united in marriage to Judy Elm at Trinity Lutheran Church in Webster City. He served in the United States Army from 1967 to 1970, serving overseas in Germany. Gary worked for Modern Farms, Iowa Liquor Store, and Silgan before retiring in 2011. He is survived by his wife of 53 years, Judy. Children, Jason and Candy Stuerwald and Heather and Paul Larson, both of Webster City. Grandchildren, Colby and Madeline Ogg, Larson and Aaron, Nate Hughes Larson, Sierra Stuerwald, great-granddaughter Adley, brother-in-law Lynn and Elaine Elm of Williams, sister-in-law Jenny Elm of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Gary is preceded in death by his parents, grandson Alex Stuerwald, and brother-in-law Larry Elm. He was a member of Trinity Lutheran Church, Hamilton County Saddle Club, Isaac Walton, and past commander of the American Legion Post 491 of Duncombe. Gary loved hunting, fishing, trap shooting, but most importantly, spending time with grandchildren and friends. He was known for always having a story to tell and will be missed by many.
Next is Linda Kringle. Linda Kringle, 76, of Fort Dodge, passed away on Saturday, February 8, 2020, at the Fort Dodge Health and Rehab in Fort Dodge. No services are planned at this time for Linda. And Ricky Joe Metz. Ricky Joe Metz, 64, of Fort Dodge, passed away on January 19, 2020. Private family services will be held at a later date. Lauffersweiler Services Funeral Home is serving the family. Announcement from Gunderson. Clifford Summers. Visitation is 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday. Gunderson's. An announcement from Lauffersweilers. Bill P. Benedict, age 70. Visitation is today, 4 to 8 p.m. at Lauffersweiler's Funeral Home. Gravesite services will be Thursday, 10:30 a.m. Rose Hill Cemetery in Eagle Grove. And to the sports page. St. Edmund versus Iowa Falls. This is by Dana Becker. Playing at home for the final time this season, the St. Edmund boys put forth a spirited effort here on Tuesday night against Iowa Falls Alden. The Cadets, though, had too much firepower, posting a 72-55 victory to complete their first season sweep over the Gales since the 2012-13 season. Carson Schar scored 26 points, and Logan Adlaner added 24 for Iowa Falls Alden, which used a big third quarter to separate themselves from St. Edmund's. They have some really good shooters, and when they get going, we couldn't stop them, St. Edmund head coach Adolf Kochendorfer said. They did a really nice job of moving the basketball to find the open person. We kept up with them in the first half, but we couldn't make enough baskets after that. We were getting good shots. They just weren't falling. Cale Kalasha and Brock Stanek provided a strong inside presence for the Gales, going a combined 11 for 18 and scoring 22 points with 17 rebounds. Kalasha Jr. had a double-double with 12 points and 10 boards, and Stanek, also 11th grader, adding 10 and 7. Drew Schaefer clipped in 8 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal, with seniors Connor Bakken and Jed Tracy recording 11 points, 5 assists, and 5 boards. And it continues. Sorry about that. It's frustrating because it wasn't the result we were looking for, and we had our chances, but I'm very proud of the way we fought. And even when we went through that dry spell and got down by 9 and about 2 minutes left, we didn't quit. The Cadets, who are 3-18 overall, 2-12 in the conference, jumped out to a 30-9 halftime advantage on their way to a 53-23 rout of the Gales less than 2 weeks ago. Today was a much different story as St. Edmund's led at the end of the first quarter, then rallied to go back up on consecutive baskets by Cambry McBride and Leah Neverman. Oh, that, I think we're reading the girls. Where's it? We got to get back to the boys here. We're going to go back to, before I turn the page, Drew Schaefer chipped in 8 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal with seniors Connor Bakken and Jed Tracy recording 11 points, 5 assists, and 5 boards. And the St. Edmund boys, there we go. Drew and Bach really had a nice two-man game going in the first half, Kotchendorfer said. Brock was doing a great job of making one move and finishing. Hopefully, we can build off the positives and use them as we prepare for the postseason. Tied at 18 all after the first, the Cadets rallied on Sharar through the opening 16 minutes. The talented junior scored 19 during that time, helping Iowa Falls Alden go up 39-30. With the win, the Cadets assured themselves of the first season of finishing no worse than 500 since the 2012-13 Adling. Adlinger was a big reason for that, as the senior knocked down all 5 of his shots in the third, scoring 13 points to outscore St. Edmund. The Gales, who are coming off 3 consecutive 12-11 seasons, will have their first losing season since 2014 and 2015. Prior to the tip, the program honored seniors Bakken, Charlie Shelley, Jarris Duncan, Tracy Jackson, Bemerick, and Ethan Lerson. Tracy, who has played varsity since his freshman season, currently has 265 career points, 231 assists, 141 rebounds, and 75 steals. Bakken has 235 points, 47 made three-pointers, 84 rebounds, 35 steals, and 31 assists. St. Edmund heads to Peyton-Sherdan on Friday to conclude its regular season before beginning district play Thursday versus Grettinger in Algona. And the Gale girls edged by the Cadets. St. Edmund girls look past last month's loss at Iowa Falls Alden's personally. While the Gales weren't quite able to earn their first win of the season on Tuesday in a rematch with the Cadets, head coach Steve Neuberger appreciated his team's competitive nature as they inched closer to tasting success. A 12-0 run that started near the end of the third quarter and spilled well into the fourth wound up being a difference for the Iowa Falls Alden in a 36-30 road victory. St. Edmund scratched and crawled all evening long, but a 25-22 lead disappeared during nearly 11-minute drought down the stretch on senior night. We kept battling, Neuberger said. We just didn't defend well over there during the first meeting, so we challenged ourselves to do a better job there, and the girls responded. And this continues with St. Edmund girls. It's frustrating because it wasn't the result we were looking for and we had our chances, but I'm very proud of the way we fought. And even when we went through that dry spell and got down by 9 with about 2 minutes left, we didn't quit. The Cadets, who are 3-18 overall, 2-12 in the conference, jumped out to a 30-9 halftime advantage on their way to a 53-23 rout of the Gales less than 2 weeks ago. Tuesday was a much different story as St. Edmunds led the end of the first quarter, then rallied to go back up on consecutive baskets by Cambry McBride and Leah Neverman with 3.51 remaining in the third quarter. The Gales went ice cold from that point on, though, and trailed 34-25 before a last-ditch effort in the final minute of regulation. Field goals by Keeley Kirsten and Aubrey Bemerick, along with a Bemerick free throw, got St. Edmund back within 4 with 32 seconds to go. A pair of foul shots from Haley Bridgewater and defensive stand sealed the victory for Iowa Falls. Neverman finished with 14 points for the Gales, who were only 2 of 8 at the charity stripe and 2 for 16 from three-point range. St. Edmund turned the ball over 19 times, which was a significant decrease from the first meeting. The Gales had only 3 turnovers in the first quarter in gaining the upper hand. We had a few costly mistakes late, but for the most part, we did a much better job valuing the basketball, Neuberger said. Hopefully, this gives us some momentum going into the postseason, where everyone starts 0-0. That has to be our mindset. We played a lot of tough 2A and 3A opponents. We're not ready for the season to be over. Jenny Wibbaum had 14 points for the Cadets, who have won 2 in a row. Seniors McBride, Emma Neverman, and Josie Timmerman were recognized after the game for the Gales, who opened Class 1A regional play on Thursday at Storm Lake, St. Mary's. And next is the Dodgers compete for 4th state berth. The Fort Dodge hosts 3A regional duel with Cedar Falls and Spencer. With their lineup finally close to full strength, Bobby Thompson is ready to see what his Fort Dodge wrestling team can truly do in the final 2 weeks of the season. Tonight, the Dodgers, 8-5 overall, will host a Class 3A regional duel in the Dodger Gym. Number 16 Cedar Falls will meet number 22 Spencer in the opening duel at 6 p.m. The third-rated Dodgers will face the winner at approximately 7:15 p.m. Wrestlers recovering from injuries and illnesses have left holes in a Dodger lineup since after Christmas break, but Thompson is hoping to have the entire starting lineup back together and on the mat on Wednesday. We've been fighting with injuries and influenza all year, Thompson said. Hopefully we can get through the next 2 weeks without either one. The second-ranked senior, Levi Igley, who is 17-3, is eyeing a return at 195 pounds after suffering a hand injury. Sixth-ranked senior Brooks Cowell, at 25-7, will be back at 132 pounds, as well as junior Soar Springer at 12-13 at 220 pounds. Freshman Tucker Peterson, 7-5, will round out the Dodger lineup at 170 pounds. Fort Dodge has qualified for the state dual tournament in each of the past 3 seasons. Last year, they finished 4th after winning the state duels championship and a traditional tourney title in 2018. In 2017, the Dodgers were runner-up at state duels in Des Moines. And this continues. We went to compete well and qualify for state duels, Thompson said. We will go down and get after it and hopefully bring home some hardware. Imagine that means some trophies. Fort Dodge is coming off a week with 3 dual victories over Marshalltown, Des Moines East, and Urbandale. The Dodgers haven't seen Cedar Falls or Spencer much this season, but do have some common opponents. We have some common opponents with Cedar Falls, but we haven't matched up, Thompson said. There'll be a lot of rated matchups in the middle weights. We obviously need to win the rated matchups if we face Cedar Falls. But Thompson believes Cedar Falls and Spencer would be a tough duel. Cedar Falls and Spencer would be a close duel, Thompson said. It will be kind of a flip-flop from us and Cedar Falls. Spencer is more top-heavy with their ranked wrestlers. If the Dodgers do face Cedar Falls, there could be 4 ranked head-to-head matchups. The Dodgers have 8 ranked wrestlers, while the Tigers have 4. Top-ranked Drake Ayala, who is 38-0, is pitted against ninth-ranked Connor McCartan at 120 pounds. and sixth-ranked Brooks Cowell will face ninth-ranked Jack Plague at 132 pounds, who is the son of Fort Dodge graduate Tim Plague. Number two, Dryson Phillips, who is 33-7, and fifth-ranked Dryson Witt are 138. And Fort Dodge's second-ranked Eagley could tangle with number seven, Colin Bowenkamp, at 182 pounds. Also ranked for the Dodgers is number two, Carson Taylor, who is 34-2, seventh-ranked Lane Cowell, 28-8, and number eight, Brandon Mills, 26-11, and 10th-ranked Austin Lee at 23-15. The Dodgers will enjoy the comforts of Fort Dodge in tonight's action and Saturday when they host a Class 3A district tournament. It's so nice to be wrestling at home and not have to travel, Thompson said. We'll have the home crowd and our home gym. At this point, you hate to go on the road. It'll be nice to be home and try to get on a roll and get a little momentum heading to the state tournament. The Iowa Elite wrestling program will be honored between the semifinals and the finals. And 22. Fort Dodge High School wins at the buzzer. Miller Al-Hamid sinks winner as time expires. With 6 seconds left in overtime on Tuesday, the Fort Dodge girls basketball team knew they only had one shot to come away with victory. The Dodgers inbounded the ball to Jalen Adams, who passed down the court, and Cheyenne Miller-Hamid went inside with Aaliyah Palmer, who went back to Miller-Hamid. The Dodger junior put up a shot as time expired that swished through the net, giving Fort Dodge senior high a dramatic 57-56 road victory over Des Moines East. Miller-Hamid's shot from 15 feet out sent the Dodger faithful into a frenzy. It was right at the buzzer, Fort Dodge senior high head coach Scott Messerly said. Che tried to go inside to Aaliyah, but the shot wasn't there, so it came back out to her, and she drained it. Fort Dodge, 7-13 overall, was played without point guard Tori Bennett, who has been battling the flu. It was really a nice win for us, Messerly said. We and Fort Dodge girls. And okay, we need some kids. Had to step up. We knew some kids had to step up. Miller-Hamid was one of three Dodgers in double figures. She finished with a team-high 18 points. Palmer had 15 and Adams added 14. When we went to overtime, we had some tired kids, Messerly said. Cheyenne played the whole second half with three fouls. But we did some nice things and the girls were scrappy. We had to come back late in the overtime. Rachel Pock had led Des Moines East with 22 points. Down the stretch, Cheyenne and Leah played a lot of minutes, Messerly said. Rachel Sporer, Trey Laurie Preslud, and Laney Mail gave us some key minutes off the bench. Defensively, we had to defend Pock, who played well. She only averages about 8 or 9, and she had a big game. The Dodgers finished the regular season on Friday at Mason City. And in other sports, here's the Wildcats punch state ticket. When Humboldt needed a big win, it was Colton Godell who provided the heroics. With their Class 2A regional dual final match against Atlantic CAM, tied at 29, Goodell was the only wrestler left for the Wildcats. Goodell earned a fall in 5 and 43 seconds over Noah Vandevanter to give Humboldt a 34-29 victory and a berth in the state dual tournament. We have to temper him down a little bit sometimes, but it's one of the guys you want in that spot, said Humboldt head coach Chad Breeman. He gets a little jazzed up because he's a tough competitor. Humboldt trailed 29-20 with three matches to go. Logan Nellis earned a tech fall at 182, and Walt Delanoit had a decision at 195 to set up the final match for Goodell. Cole Nelson, 106, Creston Graven, 120, Joe Weidert, 145, and Levi Knave, 160, all earned victories for Humboldt. It wasn't the prettiest that we wrestled, Beeman said. They are favored in a couple of those matches, and we just finished strong. I'm just very proud of our kids and their effort. In the semifinals, Humboldt beat Van Meter 45-30. And Goodell, Nelson, Craven, and Colby Clarkin, and Jordan Jensen, Naven and Niles earned victories over Humboldt in the semifinal match. We had some big wins against Atlantic. We had some kids fight. Tygo Gargano sucked his weight down, and we had him go at 126. We had great effort all the way through. This continues. I guess it doesn't. Says it continues on page 3B, but there's nothing about it on page 3B. That's strange. So we will now go towards the end of the paper, and we have the extended weather report. Today is snow likely. High around 35 and low to minus 11. Thursday, the high is only going to be 0 and low is minus 13. Friday is sunny, high 17 and a low of 16. Saturday is mostly cloudy, high 38 and low 18. And Sunday is partly sunny, high 38, low 28. Monday is partly sunny, high 37, low 17. And Tuesday is mostly cloudy, high 25 and low 13. And this now brings us to the end of today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger. We thank the folks at French of Haven for giving Iris a home in Fort Dodge for so many years. And we thank you for listening with Iris, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Wishing you all a dream and a star to bless. Have a good day, everyone.